Hey everyone, welcome back to the Creatively Thinking Podcast. Join Carolyn Botello as she uncovers the inspirations behind some incredibly creative minds that are orbiting our local communities. Hello, Gordon Moss. How are you doing? It has been a while since we've last spoken. You are a multidisciplinary artist specializing in graphic design and music. So let's take a deep dive on how you combine these two distinct fields over your career and where it has taken you.
Hi, Carolyn. It's great to be here today. And I thank you for having me on your podcast.
So yeah, Gordon, I like to start my interviews with understanding where every artist started from. And with this, I mean, what led you down this path? Was it the love of design, working with your hands, or simply the passion you feel when working on design projects for clients? Where is it in your creative process that really drives you?
I guess I first started in the West End of Toronto, the Jane and St. Clair area. My father was a set decorator for CBC TV, which was a really great learning experience for me creatively. I think it first started when I was very young. My father was a set decorator at CBC Television in Toronto, and he was a very creative person. I used to basically get a lot of materials brought home with him. Being creative down at work, he would sometimes bring his work home with him, and I would watch him play around with signs and pastels and watercolors, and he was an artist himself and loved to pursue watercolors and acrylics. So I think that's where I first started learning about art and how much fun it was and the creativity process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is fun, right? Especially when you're a kid.
Oh, it was just an amazing upbringing. I was really fortunate to have somebody that creative. And not only was he creative, but he really spurred me on and gave me all these different ideas and provided me with all the art supplies I needed just to do whatever I wanted. And back then, there were no rules. So it was a lot of fun. And I got into photography back then through him. And I had my own little dark room when I was like 9 years old. So it was fun blowing up black and white prints and showing them to my friends and taking photographs and even doing 8mm
like props and stuff.
Movies. I remember doing a small horror movie. It was like a 5-minute movie on a Brownie projector camera or a Brownie camera.
Yeah.
And it was all staged and we had all these little props.
Make it a business, right?
It was a lot of fun. So there's a lot of creativity in our household between me and my other two brothers. We were kept well entertained.
Wow. That does sound really nice. You must have been like the real popular kid in town then.
I was actually, yeah. My father, one time, he brought home a bunch of, he worked on a show called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde at CBC with Jack Palance. And he brought home a lot of very creepy things that you'd see in a horror movie. So we converted our garage. We converted our garage into a little maze, and we had all these different, it was like a spooky house type thing, and we converted it into we charged all the kids a nickel to get in, and I think I made 35 cents that day, but it was fun. We'd lead them around inside the garage they'd see all these makeup skeletons, and it was like a little house of horrors. So that was a lot of fun too. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it does sound like a lot of fun.
I did.
So I learned in your credentials that you started with George Brown College with graphic design. Did you see this as a crucial part of your creative journey? How did you find that it has truly benefited your practice as a designer?
Oh, it was great being with a lot of other people that had the same ideas and the same love of design and passion for art was amazing, because all of a sudden you're out of high school.
That is good.
Everybody in high school went different ways, but when you got to college, and you signed up for, it was called a graphic design technician program back then. You signed up for that program, and everybody in your class had the same design sense and the same drive, I guess you could call it, for designing all the for learning design. So it was great. And I met a lot of people, and to this day I still have a number of people that I keep in contact with that I mean, I'm 62 now, so I'm not getting any younger, but I still keep in contact with a lot of my college friends, so that's kind of good. We also learned we learned a lot of things that in college that were basically everything without a computer. So we used we learned from the basics, from the start, without any computers at all.
It's part of your just understanding of things, and you just, you see it, right?
Things like letting burning of type and letting, you don't see that nowadays with the use of computers. You see a lot of the big, large spaces in between the lines of the letters and stuff, and it kind of drives me crazy because I've learned how to do it the proper way at the start. But I think times change and design changes also, so maybe that's not as important as it used to be. But it's still, when you learn it in school, it kind of you kind of get it embedded in you, and you recognize it wherever you go, looking at signs outside.
Were there any initial breaks that you came across when you first started in graphic design, or did you find it was more a do-it-yourself, find your own work type of mentality
That's right.
where you had to think on your feet, where you had to be sort of pragmatic about searching out projects?
I was really fortunate back then. Georgetown had a great placement agency program internally within their school. The moment we finished, we got our diploma, they had a bunch of people come in to interview us for jobs and look at our portfolios. Back then, they weren't online portfolios. They were the big binders where you'd open up and they'd show them all your work that was pretty well done in felt pen and on paper, and you'd flip through the pages for them. And I met a hiring agent for Sears National Advertising Program by the name of John, and he hired me on about 3 days after
No.
I finished college. So that was a bit of a break. And I started working at Sears 2 weeks after, on the 8th floor on 222 Jervis Street, their national advertising program. We worked in the newspaper ads were on one side, all the national newspaper programs from Vancouver to Newfoundland. We did all that, and the catalog was done on the other side of the building. So I was basically a typesetting artist, where you'd actually take type from Photoshop, not a real Photoshop, but an actual photo print shop that would deliver the type in the galleys. And I would put them on a board with a waxing machine, and then they'd actually take a picture of the ad once I assembled it, and it would go off to the various regions for printing. So back in the day, we didn't have the luxury of computers, but it was a very interesting way to start out. It was all hands on.
How did you find graphic design as a field when you first started out? Was it competitive, or did you find there were organizations and institutions for?
Well, I think the people that I worked with at Sears after I got out of college were much like a team that you'd see anywhere in a well-respected company today. We all basically worked together as a team, and I met a lot of good friends and a lot of good, very talented independent artists that would actually come in. We'd give them samples of clothes to draw that Sears was selling, and they'd go out and they'd actually hand draw a lot of the models in these clothes and hand color. These people would work for hours and hours doing line art for fashion and line art for various different hard lines, categories, hardware, and whatnot. So we got to know a lot of different artists out in the field that were freelance, and became quite good friends with a lot of them. So it was more or less a team. I never really noticed any competition with the area that I was in, but I'm sure there was more competition higher up with the people that looked after us with, I guess, there was that old saying where Eaton's doesn't tell Simpson's everything. And I guess they're both gone now, but...
Yeah. Well, no, Eaton's is still around, isn't
it? Well, Eaton's is still around, yeah. Well, Eaton Center and all that, but Simpson's is long gone.
Oh, I still see the sign of for Simpson's. In,
oh, do you?
Yeah, in the, well, it's in the subway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like this little tiny plaque kind of thing.
Really, yeah.
Oh, between, okay. Between the...
it's probably a monument or something for Simpsons.
Yeah.
Some sort of little monument. Is it like a brass plaque?
I think it might be. It was like a dark metal. I think. Right. Yeah. And it's really small. It was only, I don't know, like 3, 4, or 5 inches wide. And then only probably 4 or 5 inches tall. But yeah, it's between the stations. Like, I think.
Is it? Oh, wow. That's
yeah,
really
it's really, it's hard. I don't think everybody sees it. Like, it's really small and it's.
And that's something.
I wouldn't be able to tell you exactly where it is. But maybe I should take a picture of it and see if it's still there, right? But.
Yeah, I remember Simpsons. They used to have the best Christmas windows. We used to go down as little kids and peer into the windows, and they used to have all these automated trains and children and people throwing snowballs. And it was just magical to us back then. I think we were probably 5 or 6, but I still remember it to this day. And the windows are still there, but I think there's not much in them nowadays.
Well, the Bay does a lot of that the window stuff too now.
Yeah. Now they do, yeah.
So you are an avid musician as well. How has this influenced your creativity as a designer, or vice versa? Has being musically inclined inspired you in your design projects, or has your design work informed your musical interest?
I think it went hand in hand. Music's an art form, design's an art form, creative art. Everything around there is basically a way to express yourself. And my art abilities, actually, is kind of funny because I met this singer-songwriter that I'm touring with across Southern Ontario right now. I met her actually at a job. I was a graphic designer. I was a layout artist for a company called Lansing Buildall back in the day. They've long since gone. The company was basically purchased by Rona Home and Garden. And anyways, I met this person. She was actually a copywriter, and we worked producing these flyers once weekly for Lansing Buildall. And shortly after, about 2 years, I think, she left the business to raise a family. And about 6 or 7 years ago, we were on Facebook, and we both noticed that we were both on, so we became in touch again after all those years. It was about 20 years since we've become in touch. And she had raised 4 kids, and my son is now 22, so I was had a little bit more free time than when he was a child. And, so we got together, we got together for coffee, first of all, to sort of say hi again. And we realized that we were musicians. She was a singer-songwriter, just starting out back then, about 6 years ago. And she plays out of, she lives in Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Laura Keating.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that I played percussion and drums, and she played guitar. So we got together a few times just to have fun, to see, you know, how it would go. And it worked out quite well. There was a big learning curve. She's an amazing songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably written over 100 songs, I would imagine. And she's all original songs. Mm-hmm. She's produced one CD. And since then, we've been touring. Now, to tie that in with graphic arts, I basically do the art and the visual presentations for her. I designed her complete CD with this one. This CD had a booklet, so it was an 8-page booklet. So I designed this CD to coincide with the music. Had all the words in that the music she'd written in it, and designed that, and now I'm producing all the advertisement for where we're playing. So it's kind of fun because I get to work on the visual side and the graphic design side, and it's a little less pressure than it's more fun to me because I've got more creative freedom than the structure of a of Sears advertising or, you know, something like that. So it worked out quite well because I get to still exercise my creative graphic design and still get to play music with her. So it worked out really, really well.
Yeah, it's like the skill set you have for graphic design, and then you use it with your music at the same time.
And one thing we both noted is just because it's the two of us playing music together, it's a lot easier to organize places to play. You don't have to go through a complete band. You know, it's just the two of us. So she phones me up, are you available on this date? And I say yes. And then she sends me over the information. And then within a day or so, there's an ad produced for her and for myself. And we put it on all the major platforms, Facebook and Instagram. And that's the way we advertise. And then she sends out a mailing to all her friends. And that's how we promote ourselves. So it's worked out well. We haven't really used an agency at all. It's just self-promotion.
Yeah, that's good when you don't have like a big band where you have to coordinate everybody's schedule. When it's just the two of you and you kind of got a lot of free time, it makes it a lot easier, right?
Yeah, it works out well. Actually, we're playing in St. Jacob's next this Friday coming up at a place called Block 3 Brewery.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah. So anybody out there listening, join us in St. Jacob's this Friday.
More advertising, right?
More advertising there. I snuck it in.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem. So that what you just were saying was, is kind of like the next question, which was, have you seen any examples where your love of music and design have overlapped any projects you have worked on, which you just mentioned?
Right. Exactly.
And if so, how did you incorporate the two, as they are very distinct, very distant, sort of very, they seem very distant creatively, but as you just explained, that they can be sort of combined, no problem.
Right. Yep. That's basically what I answered.
Over the years, I've seen you at some artist collectives. How has being a designer inspired you to submit your work as a visual artist? Do you see a distinction, or has your experience opened doors you didn't expect?
I really, really want it once I got out of college. I was busy through work for many years. And as work became less and less as a freelance artist, I realized I had a little bit more time. And I really wanted, it was on my bucket list to do a gallery show. And the opportunity came up. I did a gallery show, and it was very, very successful. Not only for, well, it was successful for me, and just good for my, it was good to know that I could do that. It was a lot of work, but it was a challenge, and it was a great challenge. I had a lot of people helping me out, and a lot of, that was my first exhibit, and I really, really enjoyed it. And I want to in the future. I've got a few ideas lined up, so hopefully I'll have another one within the next couple of years, and we'll see how that goes. But there's a lot of things rolling around in my head right now that I want to do creatively, that now I have, being sort of semi-retired, I have the time to do them.
Yeah, that's always nice. Yeah, that gets me thinking, well, what inspires you? But then I guess that's a whole other podcast, right? And we'll be right back.
Well, I get inspired by lots of different things. I think my love of photography walking down the street, even looking at street art. Graffiti inspires me a lot. Taking photographs of graffiti and just turning them visually into something different. I've been, you know, pretty well extensive in Photoshop, and I've even gone back to a program. I don't know if you remember this one, but it was called Corel Draw. But no, this was called Corel Draw, and it
Corel,
was
yeah,
a company based, I think, out of Ottawa. One particular.
So that's one. That one I remember more. But then now it's Trans. Oh, I thought you were going to say Quarks Express. I feel like don't say that one. I hated that one.
I did that one too. Yeah. Well,
I just have a hatred towards Quarks Express.
Oh, Quark Express. Yeah. Well, we worked on Quark Express a lot in advertising at some of the local hardware stores that I worked for. So that was a big thing, but I moved on in design and, you know, somebody once said, I won't say who, think different. So I was looking for a different platform, and I've just basically through the pandemic time, I pretty well learned everything that Corel Draw has to offer, and I'm kind of fluent in that. It's bigger in India, Asia, Europe. Corel Draw, they use it a lot for package design.
Oh, okay.
I took it on. I thought, oh, it'd be fun just to try it. I had it a long time ago. I had the program in my computer in younger days, Corel Draw, and I always liked the program. So I went back to it. I finally went back to it and learned it all. And now I'm using that pretty well for photography and for designing too. So as long as it comes out as a PDF to the client, people really don't worry about how it got there, but they worry about a nice PDF that they can use. So it doesn't matter what platform you're on nowadays. As long as it's a PDF, it goes anywhere.
Yeah. It can be translated into anything.
Right.
People don't care. That does sound like a better program than doing the Adobe suite, because that's like getting expensive to just
very expensive.
Have it every month. And no. I'm like, every month, I'm like, should I have this? I don't know if I'm using it enough.
Right.
Yeah.
You've got to really make money off it to make it productive. Otherwise, you feel like you're digging yourself deeper into a hole why am I using this if I can't make money from it? So with Quark, anyways, they charge you a yearly fee. And it's 1 year. Mm-hmm. You can decide after the whole year whether or not you want to use it again. And I always end up using it. And my company has been very successful, and I'm not really worried about renewing it now. So it's
so how have you seen the graphic design field changing over the years?
Yeah.
Has it stayed consistent and predictable, or have you seen it evolve in new ways? Has it surprised you in how it has changed, or has it been expected how its trajectory has moved into the present?
It's surprised me dramatically, like, you know, just incredible, the changes that I've seen over the years. Back when I first started, computers were very, very, actually, when I started college, we didn't have computers back then. That's how old I am. Mm-hmm. but it's really changed. I think it's the immediacy of the way people design now, and the speed and the way things are transmitted. There's no more courier trucks taking boards of artwork off to a printer to have them printed at a newspaper. Everything's so immediate. Designing is so immediate.
Instant, yeah.
It's almost, I've noticed a big difference, I know, with probably creativity. Things seem very linear now, as opposed to having more of a natural, humanistic approach. Back then, it was more humanistic with actual line drawings that people would actually draw on a board.
They'd storyboard it, right?
There was so much more creativity from even like a fine art standpoint, because the fine art sort of blended in with the graphic design back then. With artists that, I think there was one artist called Ernie Chelko, and he was a fine artist, but fine artists would not make a lot of money back then. They would have to resort to other ways that they could demonstrate their skills and being used in catalogs and newspaper ads for Sears and for other companies. Lansing back then also used a lot of line art. They would hire these fine artists on, and the fine artists would be very grateful because they'd have basically a steady income every week doing new art of the products that the company sold. So it was a great thing for them. Every once in a while, we'd be invited to one of the shows that one of these artists would be providing art for us. And it was a real education to see how skilled these people were in fine art. And I think I started to get into sort of the gallery approach. And I went around to a lot of galleries downtown when I worked at Sears and observed a lot of the fine artists, both older and the new up and coming artists. So OCAD was amazing. I remember going to a few shows there. Very, very amazing shows that I still remember to this day, and that was probably 35 years ago. So I hope that answered your question.
So, have you seen your creative career change over the years? Have you seen it as a ne necessity for survival or as part of your evolution as a creative professional? How were those changes to your creative practice? Do you still see them continuing to happen in the future?
Oh, yes. Yeah. The evolution of the computer from day one when I got my first Macintosh computer. It was beige in color and it just stood with a black and white screen. And